This is Bristol, and you are listening to a podcast from the Bristol Confringe reading series.
Right, good evening, everybody. It is time for another Bristol Confringe. This month we are having a crime special. It is, after all, only a few days before Crime Fest, so why not? But of course we will have a little bit of a fantasy tinge to it as well. A little bit later we're going to have the fabulous Mr. Paul Cornell. But first of all, we're going to have this gentleman, who I can assure you is really Martin Waits, but for us he's going to pretend to be Tanya Carver.
Thank you, Cheryl. And I'm going to be reading from a book which is by Tanya Carver, which I assure everybody is me. And I should say as well, yes, it is a crime novel. And I know that this is not a crime event. However, I do have the credentials for being science fiction and horror. And I do come in peace from the crime world. And I am actually wearing my Peter Capaldi boots tonight. So that's, yeah, the actual, well, not the actual ones, because he wears them, but the actual same pair, if you know what I mean. So I'm going to read this. If anybody wants to ask me later why I became a woman, I'm quite happy to tell them. So I'm going to read a little bit from the opening of this. It's one in the series of Tanya Carver novels. They're quite dark, quite dark. They're dark, hopefully gripping, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. So this is the opening of Truth or Dare. Darren Richards opened his eyes, closed them quickly as an intense light shone straight at him. "Back with us again?" said a muffled voice. "Good." He opened his eyes slowly once more, blinking all the while. The light was still as bright, like a film or TV arc lamp directed right at his retinas, like he was the centre of attention. So bright it hurt. He closed his eyes again, saw veins flash and throb on the inside of his eyelids, then the ghosts of veins, then back to blackness once more. He chanced opening them again for longer this time. His head swam as his eyes took a while to focus. His head was heavy, his arms and legs tingling, his stomach nauseous, like he felt coming down from a massive skunk bender. He blinked away the brightness, tried to squint beyond it. A figure moved about on the fringes of the light, creating sudden eclipses. Darren couldn't make much out beyond a black body and a grey-white face. No, not a face. A head. Eyes too big and round. Mouth. What was that instead of a mouth? He blinked again. Was he still on that bender? No. He tried to peel back layers of memory. He hadn't been on one. Hadn't had anything. Well, he'd had a can of lager or two on the walk to Wayne's crib, but that was nothing. He frowned. Wayne's crib. What had happened at Wayne's crib? Had he actually arrived there? He thought some more, tried to ignore the pain in his head, the shining light, the moving figure, tried to think. No, he hadn't. "Ah, Darren," said the muffled voice. Darren tried to rise from the chair, found that his arms and legs wouldn't move. He was held firm. He looked down. Heavy-duty silver duct tape was wrapped from his wrists to his elbows, his ankles to his knees, right round his torso. He was secured to the chair, near mummified. He tried to move, stand. "No, don't get up," said the voice. The chair wouldn't budge. Darren looked down, bolted to the floor. Darren was getting really scared now. The fear focused his mind, cleared it. He could hear his own breathing, the blood pumping round his body. And something above that. Another muffled sound, like a trapped cat trying to meow, to call for help. Darren found his voice. It was a small, insecure thing. What are you doing? The figure didn't answer, just moved slowly to the side of the light. In shadow, cocking its head on one side, it studied Darren. What are you doing? Darren tried to pull against his bindings. They didn't budge. Justice, said the muffled voice. Justice, thought Darren, or just us. What had he said? What did he mean? What are you on about? He asked. Justice, the figure repeated, no mistaking the word this time, despite it being muffled. Payback, fair play, righting wrongs, balancing things out. That's what I'm on about. Too many questions bombarded Darren's mind. He picked one at random. How did I get here? I brought you here, took you off the street. Darren tried to remember the walk to Wayne's, then blackness. He looked around once more, tried to make out his surroundings. The place looked old, derelict, felt cold. Something fluttered at the back wall. The night sky. How could that be? Where am I? The figure made another muffled sound. Darren thought it was choking, then realised it must be laughing. You're developing an inquisitive mind, the figure said. So many questions. But still not the right ones. Just the old, boring, prosaic ones. What should I be asking then? The figure moved slowly towards him. The mewling sound was still there, faint in the background. Darren could just hear it over the throbbing inside his head. Approaching, Darren made out the figure's features. A bone-grey, close-fitting rubber gas mask made its head appear smooth and skull-like. It was dressed all in shapeless black like a boiler suit. Big, strong boots. Gloves. He couldn't tell if it was a man or a woman, but thought it might be a man. He remembered seeing a heavy metal group who all wore masks and boiler suits. It looked like one of them. He thought they looked good at the time. Scary. The music was still shit, though. Ask your question, Darren. Darren thought, hard. This was important. He had to get the right question. That way, he might get the right answer. It came to him. Why am I here? The figure stopped advancing. Darren wasn't sure, but he imagined the person smiling behind the mask. Is the right question. Well done. Darren waited. So? He said eventually. You know, the figure said, turning and walking back to behind the light. Darren thought once more. No, he said, shaking his head. I don't. Movement from behind the light, something being pulled along the floor, positioned to the right place. You know, said the muffled voice. It's what you did, what you got away with. What? Said Darren. What did I get away with? You killed two people, Darren. You were never punished for it. Darren screwed up his face in concentration. Killed two people? When? He wasn't a murderer. And then he remembered. Oh, he said, that. Yes, said the masked figure, a note of controlled anger coming into its voice. That. You stole a car with your mates, remember? Yeah, all right, said Darren. That's it, is it? That's what this is all about? Fuck's sake, I can hardly remember it. You stole a car, continued the figure. Off your heads on whatever you could get. That's why you can't remember it, Darren. And when you were driving that car full of skunk and alcohol and E and cocaine and God knows what else, you mounted the pavement and killed two pedestrians, didn't you? Darren became defensive. He remembered now. Or at least he remembered the aftermath. The cell, the police station, remand, the trial. Once he'd come round and been presented with what he had done, he felt terrible about it. Not the deaths, although, yeah, they were bad, but he knew he could go to prison for a long time for that. That had been terrifying. He'd done time for other stuff when he was coming up, but that was just small bits of things. Drugs, street robbery, little stuff here and there. Nothing much. A few months in a YOI and then back on the street with bragging rights and a better rep. But this, he knew, had been serious. You should have gone to prison, shouldn't you? Said the figure. For a long time. A long, long time. Yeah, but I didn't, did I? Said Darren. He felt once more the cockiness he had experienced in the courtroom that day, when his defence barrister had picked up on the mistake in the police procedure that made the arrest unlawful. The judge had been given no option but to reluctantly stop the trial. Darren had walked free. No, said the figure, you didn't. The cockiness was still there within him, carried over even in his present situation. Nothing you can do about it, mate, he said. Stood trial for it, got off, end of. A solicitor said it should never have gone to trial. He looked down at his arms. So you can't touch me, gotta let me go. Is that so? Said the figure. Yeah, said Darren. I know me fucking right. The figure didn't reply, just went behind the light through a switch. Another light came on next to the one shining on Darren. He looked at what it illuminated and found the source of the mewling. His girlfriend Chloe and their daughter, Shannon. Their baby daughter, not yet a year old. Chloe was taped to an identical floor-bolted chair next to him. Shannon was taped to Chloe. Chloe looked at him, her mouth gagged, her eyes filled with tears and terror. What the fuck's going on? Said Darren. Justice, said the figure. What I said. You killed a woman and her child, innocent victims of yours. You didn't even know you'd done it. But I didn't mean to, though, did I? It was an accident. Nevertheless, you did it, and you need to pay for what you've done. You deprived the world of two people who should be living, and you think you got away with it, but you haven't. So what are we going to do about it? Darren looked at Chloe and Shannon. The baby girl was terrified, completely uncomprehending, struggling to escape, held fast by the tape, unable even to cry. Her struggles making the tape pull tighter. She looked to her father, eyes wide, expecting him to reassure her, put things right. Darren just looked helplessly back at her. You've got a choice, said the figure, moving something else into place beside the lights as it spoke. Someone has to pay for what you've done, for the lives you've taken. And it should really be you, shouldn't it? What? And then Darren saw what the figure had been moving. A crossbow, tripod mounted. It pointed first at him, then at Chloe and Shannon. Your choice, said the figure.
Thank you.
I just said what a real pleasure it is to have a professional actor do the reading. Thank you very much. Alrighty, we're going to take a short break now for people to replenish their glasses, visit the loo and so on and so forth, and then we will come back with Mr. Paul Quinnell.
Bristol Con Fringe is a monthly reading series produced by the Bristol Con Foundation. Our thanks to the Shakespeare Tavern for providing us with a venue. The music at the beginning of this podcast is The Future by Chevy 174.